Welcome back to Internet Frenzy.
Yay!
What's happening? We back.
We're back, baby. Well, we're really excited. We've got a really fun episode this week. But just a quick recap of what happened last week. So last week we had our guests on, S and Sammy, and we talked all about pet peeves. It was absolutely hilarious, but we have not found out who the fake is yet. So let's talk about that. Who would like to raise their hand and politely be honest?
Wasn't me.
Oh.
It wasn't me.
Oh.
It wasn't me.
It was me.
Oh.
Marley was the fake.
Yes, I was.
Oh my goodness. Well, you stumped all of us.
Guess so.
You're just the best.
It was a lot of pressure with two extra people.
Yeah.
When you're the fake, like it, I was sitting right next to Sammy and I was like, oh, please don't. I like brightness all the way down. I was like, please don't catch me.
That's hilarious.
But no, it was such a good episode.
It was great. It was so fun. We need to have S and Sammy back. We already missed them, but this week is going to be a banger. As you can tell on our YouTube right now, if you're watching, we are all wearing costumes. And for our podcast listeners, we will describe what we are. So Whitney, aka me, is a cowgirl.
Woo! She looks so cute.
Thanks.
What's up, cowgirl?
What are you, Joe?
I'm Alan from The Hangover. That's my guy.
He has a baby strapped to his chest.
That's right. Thanks a lot, Bin Laden.
With my mom's sunglasses on.
Hey.
He walked all 500 feet to get them tonight.
Respect.
Love it. I'm a robber.
You.
I'm Isaiah. And a surfer man.
Oh. Don't do that.
Well, we've got our costumes on. Halloween's coming up. And we are ready to provide for you the most epic Halloween stories you have ever heard in your entire life. So this episode is called Halloween Horror, Spooky Reddit Stories to Keep You Up at Night.
Let's go.
I like love that. I love like even looking for all the story, looking for the story, I was like, oh, I just love reading stuff like this.
Let's go, my dudes.
This one is gnarly from True Off My Chest.
Oh.
Gnarly.
Really?
Yeah, you guys aren't ready.
Guys, I need all the lights turned on. I'm scared. If you're with us, podcast listeners, be safe out there. Turn your lights on.
I killed my little brother, and my stepdad is in prison for it. I've been holding this in for almost 2 decades, and I don't know how much longer I can live with myself. I'm 31 now, married, and I have a baby boy of my own. But every time I look at him, I'm reminded of what I did. When I was 13, I killed my little brother. He was only 6. It was summer, and my mom had just started dating a new guy. Let's call him Vincent. He was rough around the edges, worked construction, and was always either dead tired or in a bad mood. My mom was working double shifts at the time, so Vincent watched over us more often than she did. My little brother, Ethan, and I spent a lot of time with him, but we never really liked him. He was just there. I remember overhearing my mom and Vincent arguing late at night, mostly about money, but sometimes about us, the kids. Vincent always seemed annoyed by having to take care of us. One day, it was just me and Ethan and Vincent at home. Vincent was in one of his moods, sitting in the living room, drinking a beer, even though it was barely noon. Ethan was being his usual self, loud, hyper, annoying, like a 6-year-old tends to be. He wanted to play hide-and-seek, and I just wanted to be left alone. We were in the backyard, and Ethan kept running up to me, tagging me, laughing, then running away. I snapped. I yelled at him to stop, but he just thought it was part of the game. I don't know what came over me. It's like I lost control. I pushed him hard. I wasn't even thinking. He tripped over a rock or something and he hit his head on the edge of the patio. The sound of his skull cracking was so sharp, like something breaking inside me too. He just laid there, not moving. Blood started pooling under his head and I froze. I tried calling his name, shaking him, but he didn't respond. I ran to the living room to get Vincent. He stumbled out, saw Ethan, and started panicking. I was crying hysterically, telling him it was an accident, but he wasn't listening. He picked Ethan up, screaming at me, and ran inside to call 911. When the paramedics came, they tried everything, but it was too late. He was already gone. The police arrived soon after, and that's when everything changed. I was still in shock, not knowing what to say. Vincent was acting weird, defensive, and angry, and he told them it was an accident, but the police were suspicious. They questioned us separately, and I stayed quiet. I was terrified. Vincent already had a record, a couple of DUIs and some domestic disputes from his past relationships, so they zeroed in on him. When they found out he had been drinking that day, it was game over. They charged him with manslaughter, claiming he'd been neglectful, that his drunkenness led to Ethan's death. I let them believe that. I was too scared to admit the truth. I let them take Vincent away. Vincent was sentenced to 20 years. My mom never forgave him. She cut all ties after that. We moved and she eventually married someone else. It was like Vincent never even existed. My mom never once suspected me. She couldn't bear to think her daughter could have been responsible for something so horrible. I learned to keep quiet, to bury the guilt so deep that sometimes even I could forget it, at least for a little while. But now I have a child of my own. A son who just turned one, and every time I look at him, I'm reminded of Ethan. I can't help but think how fragile he is, how easily I could lose control again. The guilt has been eating me alive, and I've started having nightmares. I see Ethan's face, lifeless, with that pool of blood beneath him, and I wake up sweating and my heart racing. I know I should confess. I know Vincent is rotting in prison for something I did. But if I come forward now, it'll destroy everything. My family, my marriage. I'm not sure I could handle the fallout. But how do I live with myself? How do I explain this to my son when he's old enough to understand? I'm terrified that one day I'll snap again. I'm terrified that what's inside me is darker than I ever wanted to admit. I don't expect forgiveness. I just needed to get this out. It's been suffocating me for years, and I don't know how much longer I can carry it. I killed my brother, and I let an innocent man take the fall for it.
That gives me anxiety.
The chills.
So this girl was 13 years old when she pushed her brother.
Pushed him. He's six. Just like a little, it's a poor little boy. Just being a boy, just playing.
Oh.
At least it was a pure accident.
Yeah.
Like,
but now,
like,
she's in way deep.
Well, yeah, she's in deep. But she needs to go say something. She has to. She has to go tell, like, the cops. To be not guilty, you have to go and, like, get it resolved with the law.
The dude's already served 18 years.
His sentence is almost...
He's going to go and get her.
He should.
I would.
But he probably doesn't know she's the reason why
he was
the kid.
And he's probably like, oh, like, I didn't remember.
He just thinks he was wrongfully accused. He doesn't know really what happened.
I mean, not after this story. He's going to see that.
You think so?
It's so crazy, too, to think that, like, he didn't, just because of his, like, criminal history, he had DUIs and he had, like, domestic disputes before. The responding officers, it was like they just tied it up really quick. Like, Right. Oh, this guy, like, he was drinking, and his criminal history, that made it. So the police were just like, okay, this is, like, over and done with.
Oh, easy.
Like, no investigation exceeding that. Just like, This guy's responsible for this poor little boy.
Well, think about it. Like, really, think about what her life would look like now. She would have, I would say, she would have gone to jail. Or juvie or whatever.
Yeah, what would have happened at 13?
She would have gone to jail. 13?
13 years old, pure accident. Like,
it wasn't an accident. She shoved his ass.
Okay, but she wasn't trying to kill him.
Whitney, how many times did you push Isaiah?
Never. I never laid my hands on Isaiah.
Did my old, like... Chase and then like playing with me could have hurt me.
Yes,
they could have, like, I would like being that little. And
but she's even she even said in the story that she feels like she has this dark, like, twisted, like, angry where she'll just snap.
Well, when you're 13,
but she hasn't.
But she still says that.
Well, I think just because she feels guilty about what happened,
and she's like, I've done it once. I could do it again. Like, it's, I think it's more of just an anxiety thing.
You think so? You don't think
she's she's like pure evil.
No.
I mean, think about her life already too. Like, she grew up, mom was already divorced before she was 13. Like, she didn't have a great childhood. She gets married to this guy that has a bad past, and now she has to live with him. He's getting drunk all the time in the house. She's not being taken care of.
Well, yeah, she's with him majority of the time.
Like, obviously, like, and it's not an excuse for her to push the little brother, but at the end of the day, she wasn't trying to kill the little brother whatsoever.
Just perfectly wrong place, wrong time. Like,
yeah,
she said she shoved him hard, but, like, he had to be straight tossed to hit his head on the patio and die from that.
I think she would go to juvie. I don't know why I think that. I've never heard of a kid killing their sibling, accident or not, and not having a big punishment. Where?
But I mean, 13, it's just weird because 13 is like 5 years away from being an adult. So at some point there's a line where like you can't hold the kid for 5 years and then charge them as an adult. And if they're being charged as a kid, the punishment's always way less severe.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they would charge her as an adult and wait or whatever. I'm just saying I do think she would have gone to juvie.
So what would happen now, though? Like, what if she was like, hey, if
she came clean now?
I did this. You think so?
Yeah. Yes, because this guy has been sitting in jail for 18 years because she didn't say anything.
So does the sentence restart? Is it like, oh, you actually did this, so you're going to get the manslaughter?
Or she'll have to, like, pay him compensation or something.
Yeah.
For, like, the life that he's lost being in jail.
I also think, why don't cops just sit on Reddit and wait for stories like this to come up? And it's like, gotcha.
Yep. Because they can't, they have a jurisdiction. So it's like, no one knows where this person is. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they could like go
track it.
But that's not cops. And all that stuff. That's like the CIA or the FBI. Like, that's like federal.
Why don't they do it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's the thing. Maybe OP will delete their post or whatever, but they could trace the IP address and like figure it all out, I'm sure.
That'd be crazy. I wonder if there are murders solved because of Reddit posts.
Like, there's special people that sit on like social media to try to find like just things out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, and I'm sure there's even some Reddit people that like find stuff like that and then like look like, like little boy kill, like if there were any headlines about it, or like, I'm sure there's people out there that just have literally nothing else to do.
Trying to find their own.
Yeah.
I believe the term is internet sleuths.
Sleuths.
It seems like she's on the edge to finally confess, though.
Yeah.
Because she's now telling people, like,
don't confess. You have a 1-year-old. I don't know.
But you gotta confess.
Take that one up with Jesus.
That's the thing, is like, only God can judge her. No, but for real, that's really a difficult thing, because I just don't have any faith in the judicial system. The fact that, like, that guy could go to jail for 18 years for something he didn't do, and then, like, they just restart the clock for her if she were to come out. Like, the whole thing is...
I don't think that would happen, but there would be... I feel like there definitely would be some...
Oh, there'd be major consequences.
Yeah.
Life would change.
I'd be doing my homework as to, like, what the consequences would actually be before I would just, like, go in.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But then again, when I was 13, I definitely would have been like, hey, cops, I did this, bro. Like, it wasn't him. I pushed my little brother because I was stupid. Like,
That would be so hard.
I don't think I would.
But you're, like, so traumatized at that point. You're just like, and it's a girl, too.
You want to know what else is crazy? This was in the front yard, right?
It doesn't specify. It just says in the yard.
Okay. Well, crazy that there was no witnesses.
If it's, like, I was totally picturing, like, somewhere in the south with, like, tall trees and, like, there's, like, room to run around. And they're just, like, up kind of by the house, the back patio. But it could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
13.
The more I think about it is kind of old.
She's old.
Most 13-year-olds, I imagine them saying something. Like, now that I, like, think about a bunch of people that I know that are 13.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was an accident.
You would say something.
She doesn't even sound sad about the fact that her brother is dead.
Right.
Like,
and then that's the part that seems dark.
And the mom, too.
Well, the only thing that OP said was that she does as much as she can to forget about it. Like, she really tries mentally to not think about it. Mm-hmm. Which I'd imagine, like, never been there, but I would imagine you have to really make a conscientious effort to disassociate. And, like, that's why they say serial killers, like, they don't show emotion. It's for that reason.
Right, they just, like, push it all down.
But the mom, I'm sure the mom was losing her freaking mind, but OP's not going to be like, yeah, my mom's really sad that my brother died.
Get an attorney. Tell them what happened. Tell them you're going to come clean. And what's the best route to take? And how can I keep myself safe as much as possible here?
Yeah.
And then you go to the cops.
I think she does need to be there for her kid.
Yeah.
But I also do think she needs to be held accountable for what she did.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to have a consequence.
Like, that little girl could have been in juvie for a year for all we know, and then her life, she continues on as a murderer.
Well, that's true. Really, I really don't know how they get tried as kids, but one last thought on this.
Yes.
She's also married. So Could you imagine?
Does the husband
know? Like, no. That's the whole thing. So imagine, like,
you find out that, like, I killed.
You
and
killed.
And your stepdad's been in jail for 18 years.
And he definitely, like, I would know about the stepdad being in jail for something.
Right. Yeah, you would know that. And you'd know about the brother, and you'd know the whole situation.
And
you just wouldn't know the truth. As
but, kid and then you find out that I did it.
That she straight jabbed him, and he...
Oh, I would tell the cops. I think I would have to.
No, but the point is that you're finding out at this point. So your life is getting absolutely wrecked.
Yeah.
It's like us being married for like 10 years, have one kid, and then I find out that it was actually her.
And she's like, I'm going to the cops.
She's like, I felt guilty about this forever. You're like, cool, cool, cool.
Like, that explains girl so much.
So sick.
Like, shock your brow, let's hang 10.
In jail.
So this is from Reddit. And it says, my wife has been peeking at me from around corners and behind furniture. It's gone from weird to terrifying. My wife, Lynn. Okay, so he's calling her Lynn. My wife, Lynn, and I have been together for 6 years and married for 11 months. Our entire history together has been very normal, and never once have I noticed any weird behaviors or red flags. I can't stress enough how out of character this whole thing is for her. Lynn is very kind, intelligent, and thoughtful. She's always been the no-nonsense type of person. Being childish or trying to scare me is not something she'd normally do. She doesn't even like watching horror movies. When we first started dating, she agreed to watch The Shining with me because she knew how much I loved horror. She was so scared that she didn't even make it through half the movie before we had to turn it off. She isn't into anything creepy and has never been into pranks. It's just not her cup of tea, and that's fine. But that was what's so strange about this. It's just so unlike her. I should also add that she has never had any mental health issues, and as far as I'm aware, it doesn't run in her family. I know some people are able to hide their mental health problems, but in the 6 years we've been together, I think I'd have some sort of sign. 2 months ago, I was in the kitchen making myself some coffee before work. I was running a bit late that morning and knew I wouldn't be able to make it to Dunkin' Donuts for my usual morning fix. I took a sip of my coffee as I hurried down the hall towards the front door when I happened to notice Lynn peeking at me from around the corner ahead of me. I can only see her eyes and a strand of her long, dark hair hanging against the wall. The rest of her body was concealed behind the corner. I nearly spilled my coffee when I saw her. I did burn the shit out of my lips. "Jeez, Lynn," I said, wiping a few drops of coffee from my pants. "You scared the shit out of me." She immediately popped out of view like a little kid that had been caught. I heard her scurry around towards the living room, and by the time I got to the front door, she was out of sight. It was really weird and just totally out of character for her, like I said, but also found it kind of funny that she was being more playful and a little less serious. I shouted that I loved her and called her a weirdo. As I shut the door behind me, I heard her laughing. Her behavior was a bit odd, but it certainly wasn't something to call a priest over. I forgot about it by lunch, and by the time I got home, she was her normal self. I didn't bring it up, and neither did she, and life went on. The next incident happened 3 days later. It was around 2 a.m., and I had woken up to get a drink. I was standing at the kitchen island, jug of an OJ in hand, when I felt a strong feeling that I was being watched. For whatever reason, I looked down at the floor and saw my wife's smiling face staring back. She was peeking at me from the other side of the island, staring at me with wide, unblinking eyes and grinning. Grinning like the Cheshire Cat.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It gets crazy. I screamed, I'll admit it, not out of irritation, but fear. For some reason, at that moment, I was scared. At the sound of my scream, Lynn scuttled backwards out of my view, her hands and feet smacking the tile floor as she hurried out of the kitchen on all fours.
Oh, shit.
Ew. Ain't no shot.
I swear.
Absolutely not.
This reminds me of, like, The Visit.
I know.
This is us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got a little...
Something's going on here. She's flipping.
Doppelganger.
I didn't run after her or even yell after her. I just stood there frozen in shock, wondering what the F had possessed her to do that. It took me a little longer than I'd like to admit to go back upstairs, but eventually I did. When I got to our bedroom, Lynn was lying on her side asleep, or at least pretending to be. I stood there for a while watching her breathing to be really sure she was asleep. I had the feeling she might jump out at me the moment I got into bed, but she didn't. I climbed into bed and she didn't even move. Her breathing was soft and deep, and I was starting to wonder if I'd dreamt the whole thing. The next morning, I waited for her to come down for coffee, and after handing her a mug and kissing her cheek, I decided to ask her about it. "What was that about last night?" I asked, keeping my tone light so I didn't offend or embarrass her. She frowned over her cup of coffee, shaking her head like she had no clue what I was referring to. "You were peeking at me again. From over there," I said, pointing to the spot on the floor by the kitchen island. She followed my gaze, and when she looked back at me, she burst out laughing. She laughed so hard that I couldn't help but join her. "You creep the F out of me sometimes, you know that?" I said. She giggled and set her cup on the counter and wrapped her arms around my neck. "You creep me out all the time, so I guess we're even," she teased. We said our goodbyes and left for work. As I drove, I kept thinking about how creepy I'd been seeing her grinning at me from behind the island like that. The sounds her hands made on the floor as she crawled away. I told myself she was just trying to be silly, just trying to join me in my love of all things horror. It's not like I was afraid of her, but it still didn't sit right with me. I started seeing her peeking at me more and more. Sometimes she'd be peeking out from behind the couch or living room curtains. Once she even managed to get inside her grandmother's old trunk that sits at the foot of our bed. I might not have even known she was there at all had the trunk's old hinges not given her away. She'd had the lid propped up just enough so only half of her face peeked through. She'd been grinning like an excited toddler. It was unnerving. I didn't even know what to say to her. All I could do was stare. When I finally found my voice, I asked her why on earth was she doing this. She didn't answer. She had slowly closed the lid, shutting herself inside the trunk. I just walked away, feeling disturbed.
I just sit on it.
Like, you're done. You're locked.
You're done.
I didn't understand why she was doing it, but clearly it made her happy. I just hoped she would tire of the game quickly. Lynn didn't peek at me for the next 2 weeks. I started to think she was done with her weird prank, and I was relieved. We were watching a show on Netflix one night, and I jokingly said that I hadn't seen her peeking at me lately, and that she must have given up on her spy game. She looked up at me with a small smile and said, "Maybe I've just gotten better at it." I didn't say anything, but I wondered whether or not she was joking. For the next few days, I couldn't stop about what she had said. Was she still peeking at me when I wasn't looking and I just hadn't noticed? And if so, what the hell was she getting out of this? I started to feel paranoid, constantly checking whether she was watching from around the corner or behind a door. I was jumpy whenever I was home, and she wasn't in full view of me. I felt stupid and a little crazy. But after a few weeks without another incident, I began to relax. I stopped checking behind furniture and walls and told myself it was just a bad memory. Then a few days ago, things got so much worse. Lynn left to go to a friend's, and I lounged on the couch and played a couple games on my laptop. Around 9 p.m., I hopped in the shower, and as I was washing the soap from my hair, I felt that awful feeling that I was being watched. I slowly opened my eyes and almost had an effing heart attack. Lynn was peeking from behind the shower curtain, her entire head stretched into the shower, leaving just her body outside. Her long dark hair hung against the curtain, the ends dripping with water. Her mouth hung open in a terrible grin, eyes wide and red, as if she hadn't blinked in a while.
No.
Absolutely not.
As if she hasn't blinked in a while.
She's just like...
Oh.
Yes! Finally!
Yeah.
Like, wow, he's been watching his hair a long time.
Gosh, I'm dripping over here.
Open your eyes. Open your eyes.
Please look. I screamed and jumped back against the wall. She didn't move, nor did her smile waver. Her makeup ran down her cheeks in two black streaks. She looked giddy and completely deranged. I was effing terrified. We stood like that for a few moments, neither of us saying a word. Finally... After what felt like forever, she slowly pulled her head back out of the shower, and I watched her blurry figure through the curtain as she moved backwards towards the bathroom door. A second later, the bathroom door slammed shut hard enough to rattle the mirror. I screamed again and jumped under the shower to lock the door. I stayed inside the bathroom for over an hour. Maybe I overreacted to some of you, but joke or not, I wasn't going to put up with that crazy shit anymore. That's what I kept telling myself as I paced in my bathroom, stopping to listen at the door every few minutes. Suddenly, I heard a muffled sound, and I pressed my ear against the bathroom door, straining to listen. I couldn't hear anything, but I envisioned Lynn standing on the other side of the door, giggling at her joke. I felt a surge of anger. I was beyond pissed at being made to feel scared in my own house and made to hide in the bathroom for an hour. All for what? Some joke? If it was a joke, it was an awful one. What the F, Lynn? I snapped. This shit is getting really effing annoying. I waited for her to apologize or to call me a jerk, but instead I heard a faint moan. So quiet, I wondered if I heard it at all. And then complete silence. Lynn, I called out. Not able to even hide the shakiness in my voice, I got no response, just my own heavy breathing. I swear, just effing stop it, I yelled, pounding my fist on the door. I waited for her to cuss me out, something I wouldn't expect from her talking to her like that. I never have screamed at her before, but there was nothing, just the occasional drip from the shower head. I won't deny that I was scared, too afraid to open the damn door and face my own wife. I waited another 30 minutes or so, which feels like a lifetime when you're scared. Finally, I decided I wasn't going to spend the night hiding in my bathroom, so I got down on my knees and peered underneath the door.
No, please don't tell me.
I almost expected to see her face peeking at me, but thankfully, I didn't. I could see straight down the hallway to the top of the stairs, but no limb. I didn't know if I should be happy about that or not. I looked for a few minutes, waiting to see her head pop up over the top step, but it never came. I stood up, my hand hovering over the door and mentally preparing myself to open it. I slowly turned the lock with shaky fingers and was about to yank it open when I heard a sound that still makes me feel nauseous when I think about it. A moan, louder than before, but this time I was able to tell just where it was coming from. I turned my head to the closet door as if in slow motion and locked eyes with my wife, who was peeking at me from the slight gap. Her eyes were still wide as ever, and her mouth was hanging open in the most grotesque gaping smile I've ever seen. I didn't even scream. I was too scared for even that. Her hands were clasped to her chest, body trembling with sheer delight, as if she could barely contain her excitement. A short, raspy moan bubbled up from her throat, deep and raw, sending a shiver through my entire body. Somehow I found the ability to pull the bathroom door open and ran as fast as I could all the way down the steps, snagging my keys and phone from the table in the living room before running outside to my car. I could hear her shrill laughter behind me, but I didn't hear her getting closer. I didn't bother shutting the front door. I drove away from the house faster than I legally should have, shivering the entire time either from fear or the cold, maybe a little bit of both. I hadn't grabbed a coat or even a pair of shoes. I was still in my boxers and my hair was still damp. I drove straight to my brother Chris's house, about 40 minutes away, ignoring any and every call and text I got. I didn't check my phone until I was safely parked in my brother's driveway. Lynn had called 4 times and sent a flurry of texts, all wondering where I'd gone and why I left like that. I threw my phone at the dash in a rage, furious at her nonchalant attitude. My brother and his wife were surprised to see me, especially dressed in just a pair of boxers, but told me to stay as long as I needed. Chris lent me some clothes and asked me what happened. I told him Lynn and I had a fight, but didn't get into the details. I didn't want him to think I was overreacting, leaving my wife over a prank, even if it was a strange one. I mean, hadn't I encouraged her for years to lighten up instead of being so serious all the time? I'd wanted her to relax and loosen up, but this was definitely not what I had in mind. The mere thought of going back home gave me anxiety. I tossed and turned, unable to sleep. Chris ended up giving me a sleeping pill, so I was able to get a little rest. My sleep was filled with terrible dreams, all of Lynn's smiling face. I woke up just as the sun started to rise. My sore body ached from the sofa, and I felt drained. I knew I'd have to call Lynn at some point, but I didn't know what to say to her. I wouldn't be going home unless she gave me her word she'd never do any more creepy shit. I just wanted my wife back. Her normal, serious self never looked so good to me. I was contemplating calling her and telling her that when that familiar feeling came over me, I was being watched. I was staring at the ceiling, my heart in my throat. I didn't want to look away, but the longer I ignored the feeling, the worse it got. My eyes drifted away from the ceiling almost on their own. Her face was pressed up against the window beside the couch, staring down at me with that same gaping smile. Drool dribbled down her lips, leaving 2 long streaks down the glass. I didn't know how long she had been there, but something told me she'd been there quite a while, possibly all night. I didn't bother screaming, though I was afraid. Anger trumped any fear I felt at that moment. I jumped up from the couch and pounded my palm against the glass. Lynn, are you crazy? What the hell is wrong with you? Just go home, I shouted. Now! She didn't move, and her ghastly expression never changed. If anything, her smile only grew, as if she had never been more elated. I could hear Chris and his wife moving around upstairs, as if Lynn could hear them from her place outside. Her head twitched slightly in their direction, and she began to close her mouth slowly. Chris called my name from upstairs, obviously concerned. I turned to see him and his wife, Rebecca, hurrying down the steps. When I turned back to the window, Lynn was gone. The only sign she'd been there at all was the 2 streaks of drool still dripping down the glass. I tried explaining to Chris and Rebecca about waking up to see Lynn watching me through the window. They were skeptical. Who wouldn't be? Chris and I went outside to the spot in front of the window, but there were no footprints in the dirt, just a slight indent. Animal probably, Chris guessed, and I didn't argue. He and Rebecca assumed I dreamt the entire episode, but they didn't understand, and I was too tired to explain it to them. I called out of work that day, and I turned my cell phone off. I didn't want to face Lynn. Just talking to her was too much for me at that that point. I really started to believe something was irreversibly wrong with her, that no matter what promises she'd made, we'd never be the same again. The thought saddened me to my core. I cried most of the morning. By noon, I figured I was ready to confront her, give her one last chance to explain herself. I could at least give her that 6 years, I told myself. I turned my phone on and saw the dozens of texts she'd sent, all from a seemingly concerned wife. Can we talk? I love you. Please call me. I'm really worried. Can you answer me? Just come home. And more of the same. All texts telling me she loved me and she wanted me home. How worried she was. Not a damn one addressing the crazy shit she pulled, like she hadn't been acting like a character from Stephen King book. Even her texts were different. She normally texts novels just to tell me to pick up a loaf of bread. You'd think she'd have more to say to me after her bizarre shenanigans. I know it probably seems childish to some of you who are miles away from this situation, but if you saw the way Lynn had looked at me, how she scampered away on all fours like some wild animal, grinning at me from inside the closet like a lunatic, then I think you'd find my reaction was warranted. I ended up staying with Chris and Rebecca for another night. I didn't wake up yesterday until afternoon, and thankfully I didn't see Lynn's face watching me through the window. I don't want to pry because it's not my place, but is this fight something that can be mended? Rebecca asked. She'd made us both a sandwich for lunch, and I knew she wanted to breach the subject without seeming too nosy. I don't know. She's like a different person, I said, choosing my words carefully. I still wasn't ready for her or Chris to know the full extent of the batshit craziness I had been dealing with. People change, Ben, but she's still the same woman you married. Maybe you both just need to talk through your issues. Whatever's going on, I'm sure it can be fixed. I think it's beyond that now. I don't think talking would help. I just don't trust her, I said. The words stung in my heart. I missed and loved my wife, but how could I live with someone like that, living in constant fear? Living in constant fear didn't sound too appealing. Lynn loves you. She has to be absolutely crushed, she said. I don't know about that, I said. Well, she certainly seemed it to me. I've never seen her so upset. Very much unlike the Lynn I know, Rebecca said, shaking her head sadly. It took a full minute for her words to really sink in, and when they did, I felt dread warming its way through my skin. Wait, what do you mean? You saw her? You saw Lynn? I asked, my mouth suddenly dry. Rebecca nodded casually as if that fact wasn't nightmare fuel. Maybe for her it wasn't. She stopped by this morning just after Chris left for work. She said cleaning the plates from the table. I didn't see her car, though. Maybe she took an Uber or something. Beck, what did she say? Did she come inside? I asked, sweat starting to break out on my forehead. I began looking around, examining corners as though a predator lurked behind them. No, she just asked if you were awake yet, and I said that you weren't. I asked if she wanted me to wake you, but she said no, just to let you sleep, she said as she washed the dishes. That's all? She didn't say anything else, I asked? No, she looked awful, though, like she hadn't slept in days. I think you should call her. I got up from the table and thanked Rebecca for lunch. I felt a little bit better at the knowledge that at least she hadn't come inside. Still, I needed to double check that the doors were locked. I sat for a while trying to figure out what to do next. I didn't want to go home, but I felt that I owed it to Lynn to help her if I could. Hadn't I sworn an oath to love and honor her through sickness and in health? Clearly, she was very sick. If she was sick, which I truly believe she was, I had to try and get her the help she needed. But I didn't even know where to start. I didn't want to call the police, and besides, what the hell was going to tell them? That my wife was peeking at me? That she was being creepy? As bizarre as she'd been, she still hadn't committed any crime. Not yet, anyway. The police would have had probably said I was overreacting. I knew, as her husband, I was well within my rights to have her committed, but what if she simply acted normal in their presence? She's obviously been able to fool Rebecca into thinking she was just a concerned wife. As long as the doctors didn't find her a danger to herself or others, they'd have no choice but to release her after 72 hours. I felt lost and overwhelmed. So I did what any husband in my position would do. I called her mother. I didn't want to, believe me. Her mother, Marianne, and I were never on the best terms. We never fought or anything like that. She just wasn't a very warm person. It wasn't really easy to get along with. She hardly ever smiled, and when she did, only her lips would move into a thin-lipped smile, leaving her eyes as blank as before. I'd only met her twice, and both times were for such short visits. I got the impression she didn't approve of me for her daughter. Lynn always ushered us out quickly as if she didn't want me to feel uncomfortable, which I was grateful for. Being in her mother's company felt almost unbearable. I was happy to avoid the woman, but I needed her help. I really didn't want to talk to her at all, but I had to talk to someone, and someone who knew Lynn better than I do, so I grit my teeth and did what I had to do. Yes, she answered, already sounding irritated. Marianne, it's me, Ben. Do you have a minute to talk? I asked. I could hear her cluck her tongue in irritation. I'm in the middle of writing some checks, but if you insist, I suppose I can spare a moment. What is it that you want to discuss, Benjamin? She said. It's about Lynn. She's been acting strangely, and I was wondering if you had any idea whether there was something. I was quickly interrupted. It's a bit difficult to follow your rambling, Benjamin. What is it that you want from me? She asked. I could almost see her standing there in her thin sweater and slacks, tapping her fingernails impatiently on the table. I wanted to know if you'd ever noticed any odd behavior or possibly any mental health issues, I asked. There was a long, uncomfortable pause that I couldn't tell was because she was just thinking or something else. Finally, after a few seconds, she spoke. I'm not sure if this is one of your jokes, Benjamin, but if so, I don't find the humor in it. Now, I do have business to attend to, as I've said, so if you don't mind, she said, but I cut her off before she could get rid of me. Marianne, it's not a joke. I'm sincerely concerned about Lynn's mental health. Her behavior has been very erratic lately. I'm worried about her, and I figured as her mother, you would be as well. I said, my frustration evident in my voice. If you're truly concerned, then I suggest you get the health professionals involved. I don't know what you expect of me, she snapped. I could tell she was seconds away from hanging up, and for some reason, I was desperate not to let her. Please, if not for me, do it for Lynn, I tried. Benjamin, do not call here again. Goodbye. I tried to call out to her, but she'd hung up. I tried to wrap my head around the call and her refusal to help me. Even if she didn't like me, why wouldn't she want to help her own daughter? I couldn't understand that. I tried to replay the conversation, desperate to find something I missed. After a while, I almost gave up until I remembered her last words to me. Seek professional help. She had said those words with a bit of urgency. I could have just been grasping at straws, but no. I was sure her voice had changed ever so slightly when she'd said that, as if they were very important. What had she meant? I assumed she'd been referring to medical professionals, but maybe she was referring to someone else. Someone that she didn't, for some reason, feel comfortable saying directly. Or maybe I was just desperate. I was waiting for Chris to get home, and after a very long and exhausting conversation with him and Rebecca, I convinced them that Lynn truly needed psychiatric help. I didn't tell them everything. I wasn't prepared to go into it yet, but I told them about our last encounter, how she hid in the bathroom peeking at me from the closet. They were obviously shocked, but thankfully they believed me. They too just wanted to help her. Still, they didn't think it was all that serious. Weird. Maybe, but not dangerous. They just kept saying that Lynn had to be playing some kind of weird joke. Maybe for you too, Rebecca offered, if only half-heartedly. Chris didn't think we should involve the police just yet. He offered instead to go with me, and I readily accepted. He reasoned that calmly talking to her, trying to coax her into going willingly, was the best recourse. I agreed to do it his way. At least I wouldn't be going into that house alone. We drove over this morning just after breakfast. There was no way I was going at night. When we pulled into the driveway, my stomach began doing somersaults. Her car wasn't there, but I still didn't let my guard down. The front door was ajar, and for a split second, I thought we'd see her eyes staring through the gap. I was shaking and starting to sweat. Chris, however, was fine. He waited for me to open the door, his hands in his pockets like he was going on an effing stroll through the park. I envied his ignorance. I pushed the door open and was immediately hit with a stench of rot. Chris smelled it too, and he walked up in the house behind me with his nose scrunched up. What do you guys use to clean the floors around here? Shit, Chris mumbled. Shut up, I said, my eyes darting around for any signs of Lynn. The house was deadly quiet and dark despite being 10 in the morning. All the curtains were closed up tight, refusing to allow any sunlight inside. If I hadn't left it just 2 days prior, I'd have thought the house to be abandoned. We moved through each room, carefully checking any place that she might hide, occasionally calling her name. Why the F are you looking under the couch? Chris asked eventually. Aren't we looking for your wife? He was looking at me like I was a moron. Let's just go upstairs, I whispered. He shook his head, but followed me up the stairs to check the bathroom and spare bedroom. On my way up, my shoes crunched over pieces of glass that looked to be littered over a few of the steps. I noticed that one of Lynn and my wedding portraits that hung on the wall along the staircase had been smashed. The frame hung crookedly, all the glass removed. I stared at the picture, a lump forming in my throat. We had taken the photo just after leaving the church after saying our vows. She looked so beautiful in her white gown. I looked at Lynn's beautiful face. I never dreamed her face would ever be a source of terror for me. We climbed the rest of the steps and checked the spare bedroom, but it looked completely untouched. I was hesitant to go to the bathroom, my fear from that night coming back at me all at once. Chris noticed and I offered to go in by myself, but I couldn't let him do that, so we walked in together. Checking the closet and the shower, the bathroom looked as if it hadn't been touched since the night I left. I don't think she's here, Ben. Why don't you pack some clothes and we'll try coming back tomorrow or something, Chris said. I nodded and went into our bedroom and shoved some clothes into a duffel bag. When I checked inside our closet, I came across the source of the smell and gagged. Chris took one look and lost all color in his face. He had to go stand by the stairs to get away from the sight and the smell. I gazed down in shock at what lay inside my bedroom closet. Soaking into the rug were at least a dozen eyeballs, all carefully laid out in pairs. Some were as large as a quarter, while others were as tiny as a marble. I stared down at the eyes she'd collected from small animals and I wondered how she'd gotten them. And shuddered at the thought. Man, I thought I had it bad with Becca's shoe addiction, but F me. Your wife's in here collecting eyeballs? Chris said, gagging. Ben, I think we should go, he called from the hall. I'm getting nauseous. All right, I grabbed my duffel and shut the closet door on my new nightmare. I stepped out into the hall and took a deep breath of air. I could taste the rot on my tongue, and I couldn't help but gag. Who the F lines up eyeballs in their closet like that? Chris mumbled. I tried to tell you she needed help, I said. She doesn't need help, Ben. She needs an effing exorcist, he said. You coming or what? I can't stand the smell any... His words died in his throat and his eyes grew wide with fear. I didn't ask him why. I could feel it. Someone was watching me and I didn't think it was the eyes in the closet. I turned around, my eyes slowly scanning the bedroom. Shit, I whispered as I finally saw what we'd missed. Under the bed, curled on her side, watching us with the excitement of a kid on Christmas morning, was my wife. She held her hands together just under her chin and they were shaking eagerly. Now that she knew she'd been found, I could hear the quiet noises she was making, a sort of hiccuping sound in her throat, as if the excitement was just too much for her. It was unnerving, to say the least, wide eyes and that same huge smile. Everything in me told me to run, but I forced it away. This is my wife. No matter how twisted, she was still the woman I married. I had to help her. Lynn, I said softly. She didn't respond, but her head bobbed back and forth in two quick little movements as if she were nodding. Baby, I just want to help, okay? Can you let me do that? I asked. I had taken a single step forward, approaching her like some kind of dangerous animal. I love you, Lynn, I said softly, taking another step closer. She let a tiny moan escape her wide open mouth, and I had to resist the urge to run. Her shoulders were starting to quiver, and her eyes grew as large as saucers. I crouched down so I could see her better and immediately saw the blood. Her hands were covered in it. They trembled more the closer I got, as if she was barely able to contain herself. Lynn, are you hurt? You're bleeding, I said. She bobbed her head again, her bloody fingers moving up and down as if playing an invisible piano. They occasionally grazed her chin, leaving smears of blood on her skin. I wanted to recoil in disgust. The smell that was coming off of her was revolting. I could feel the vomit trying to climb up my throat. Her lips were dry and stretched thin, blood seeping between the cracks. I knew she wouldn't come out on her own, but I didn't want to leave her in the state she was in. I scooted closer and reached out to her. The excited hiccuping sounds got louder and her hands shook, fingers flexing. It was then that I could see the blood oozing from in between the fingers. Oh my gosh, Lynn, you're bleeding, I said. Instinctively, I reached out to take her hand, but before I could even touch her, her hand sprang out towards me. A sharp pain shot through my arm and I fell back on my ass. My arm burned and I could see the blood dripping down onto the carpet. I looked back at her in shock and saw her grinning madly, her fingers clutching a large shard of glass. You all right in there? Chris asked from behind me. I turned my head slightly and nodded to him, cradling my arm to my chest. When I turned back to face Lynn, I saw that her focus had shifted. She wasn't looking at me anymore, and she wasn't smiling anymore either. She was staring past me, her eyes glaring at Chris, the way a hungry lion might stare at an antelope. Her mouth was still hanging open, but it was twisted into a snarl. I got to my feet and began walking backwards down the hall, afraid to take my eyes off her. Are you bleeding? Chris asked. The moment the words left his mouth, Lynn started fast scooting out from under the bed, the glass shard still in her fist. Chris, run, go, I yelled. He must have been too afraid to move because a moment later, I felt my back bump into him. He was still standing at the top of the stairs, staring at the horror that was my wife. Lynn had crawled completely out from under the bed and stood in the bedroom doorway, her face twisted in rage. Her whole body was visibly tense. Blood ran down her fingers and onto the floor. Lynn, Chris said, you what? Playing hide and seek? I reached back and pushed him towards the steps. Move your ass, Chris, as I said as quietly but firmly as I could. Lynn bobbed her head in fast, sharp motions and began to grin, stretching her mouth open wider and wider so that her chin seemed to touch her chest. I heard Chris mutter a prayer and then he was running down the stairs. I stood at the top of the steps, stuck between the love for a woman who clearly needed serious help and self-preservation. I only want to help, I said, choking back tears. Her eyes focused on me once again as she slowly lifted the glass, holding it out in front of her, and then she started sprinting towards me, grinning with utter excitement. Thankfully, my body took over, and I flew down the stairs, skipping two or three at a time. I made it to the front door before I felt her leap onto my back, wrapping her arms around my neck, her open mouth next to my ears so that I could hear those terrible hiccuping sounds up so close. I shook her off me, knocking her to the floor. I felt a searing pain in my back as she went, but I tore open the front door and bolted to my car. Chris was standing in the front yard, talking on the phone with the police. I didn't say a word. I just ran to my car and jumped in. Chris took the hint and followed me, still in line with 911. I watched the rearview mirror, sure I'd see her there, running after us, but I never did. I went straight to the ER and got 11 stitches in my arm and 3 on my back. The police asked a lot of questions and went back to the house to do a search, But of course, Lynn wasn't there. They advised me to stay with a friend or a relative for a while and to file a restraining order as soon as I could, but none of those things would matter. Somehow I just knew. I dropped Chris off at home and went to a motel an hour away. I wanted to put as much distance between me and Lynn as I could. This is where I'd been for the last 4 hours. I thought maybe the police would find her. Maybe they'd get her the help she desperately needs, but now I don't think so. Because 40 minutes ago, I just got a text from an unknown number, just 3 words. I found you. And a picture attached. The picture was dark and grainy, but I instantly knew what it was. There was no mistaking my wife's eye. I started typing this out immediately after. I don't know what to do. I'm alone and scared, and I can't help but feel that I'm being watched.
Whitney, where the hell did you find that?
Reddit. I swear.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. He's married to this girl.
Yeah, we know.
And she's fine. And like, she's not fine. Not a thing. Like,
let's talk about the mom. That's something that I was very like, there was something there.
What if she has the same problem?
Like, she's crazy too.
Yeah, it's just like, she's weird too.
No, I bet she's done it when she was younger or something. I bet like weird stuff has happened, like her growing up.
Because she did say, get her help. And he was like, I don't know what that meant. Like, what do you, I'm dying to hear your guys' thoughts. Are you guys scared?
Oh, the whole time.
That's like, I'm going to have nightmares for sure.
But then,
If you pranked me like that even once, on like all so fours, long. After peeking on the floor,
so of
the kitchen island, I'm sorry. No.
Absolutely.
And then going on all fours up the stairs and like moaning as you're doing it.
The fact that it was a moan, I couldn't get past that every single time.
Or like the hiccups.
It's like
like
she lost her voice and she just like.
Yeah, it's like she's totally possessed. That's what it feels like.
Like Isaiah gets mad at me if I even am like behind the door and I like. We don't do that.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
We don't scare each other.
Yes.
And
that's a rule. No, we don't scare each other.
Joe's not allowed to scare me.
Oh.
There was one time where he scared me so bad. He felt so bad. I said, don't ever do that to me again. And he never has.
I was like playing music all loud outside and I was vacuuming and stuff. And you were going to come out of your room. I was waiting for you to come out. And as soon as you opened the door, I was like, whoa. And she just like started crying. Like,
oh, I just lost.
And like, she like slammed the door. It's like, oh, I messed up. I messed up bad.
That's bad.
Yeah.
I'm like full on lost.
Yeah. I just think scared. Like, I just think in your house, getting scared is not a good idea because it's like, what if I have something in my hand and I just, I'm going to hit you.
Yeah, like anything.
Like if I have a huge, if I have a freaking water bottle and you scare me, like I'm going to hit you.
It was posted posted 3 years ago. Okay. I would love an update. That would be awesome. Like, did the cops find?
There's no update. He died right after he posted.
No. Oh my gosh. Yeah, because he went to this hotel room and four hours later posted this whole thing.
And she's there. Here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing about Lynn. Mm-hmm. She's the devil. No, but in all honesty, whether it's like being possessed, whether it's really good writing from somebody that's writing a novel, I don't really know.
Yeah.
All I know is if I was him, and it's like the one that pushed me overboard was a while ago. It was when she was in the trunk, when she was in the chest. Are you reading comments right now?
Babe, I'm listening.
Oh, okay. Well, when she was in the chest, if that was you, I'd be like, okay. Like, the show's over.
Yeah.
This has been really funny. You did a good job. I'd be like, open the chest. Come on out. This is over. You're done.
And I'm looking at you like.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, I am absolutely terrified. But if we need to fight right now, we're going to fight.
I feel like by this point, you would have tackled me or something.
Well, no, because he just kept going away from her. He kept like running away.
Yeah.
And I get being scared. Like you could make a creepy face and I'd be like, okay, that's a little creepy. But then I would like turn a corner when I'm ready to be done with it. Hold on.
Yeah.
When I'm ready to be done with the joke, I'd be like, okay, I know that you're being funny and that we like this, that kind of stuff. I'm over it now because you're freaking me out. So if you want to keep taking it to the next level, let's
like, fight.
Yeah.
Square. But there's a difference between, like, you can just see it in someone when they're just being, like, creepy and, like, they're, like, they've lost their crap. Like, they're possessed. Like, they're gone. And that's that. I feel like that's where, as a, even a guy, you're going to be running away because you're scared.
I've never been in a position where I could tell that somebody was possessed. Like, I would always just assume that if they're, like, putting on that creepy face.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I get it. You're creepy. But, like, I wouldn't be like, okay, I'm going to run away now.
Right.
Like, I just, that's just not how it works for me.
Right, because you've never experienced it, so you wouldn't know.
But like,
what you would actually do in that moment.
Yes, and I don't believe in them. Yes.
I don't know. I think what you're saying, Whitney, about it just being like there's, from like someone joking, and like this past joking, like the second time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That it happened. Oh. Like when she's running on all fours up the bed and then is just like asleep in the bed.
Like the shower too.
Oh, that's absolutely terrifying.
That was after.
That was literally terrifying. She's there. She's wet, makeup running, and they just stand. They just stand there looking at each other for like multiple minutes, wasn't it?
He said like yeah,
like a minute, like
a minute, like moments strung together.
He said it felt like forever.
Oh, what? Oh.
I would have grabbed your head and just right on the wall.
No, actually,
like it's over. Yeah, no. You mess with me in the shower. That's like my safe spot. It's over. Your head is going into the shit, like into the wall.
Stop. No, but honestly, I give permission at that point. Like if I have scared you that many times, and I am, it's like I'm not just boo like in the corner, like wah, you know, it's full on creepy.
Like trying to be scared, like trying to be a weirdo.
But the thing is, she's not even trying to be a weirdo. She is.
She is. Like something is genuinely wrong.
The eyeballs.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When did that start?
I literally like.
When did that start? What switched in her to like start this?
But the thing is, so like, she must have gotten those. She literally got those in the last 2 days.
Yes.
Because he's been gone 2 days. They're not rotting. They're not like shriveled up and like they're fresh.
Fresh eyeballs.
To an extent. And like, that's just like, what?
It's the black market.
How do you get.
No, she extracted them herself.
100%. It's not even like you could get those from a dead animal because. If they're dead, like, your eyes are your first thing to, like, rot out.
This sounds like the plot of a crazy freaking
I'd watch movie. It. It's, like, half us.
This is,
like,
not, I, this like is it's the giving, visit to a T.
No. The visit? Not even close.
Have you seen it?
The hiccuping, like,
not the even way the
visit, babe. The grandma just out of nowhere just starts going kind of cuckoo.
But it's only at nighttime. She has sundowns, like...
I'm just saying, like, that reminds me of, like...
But it's the... I mean, it's yeah. It's the peeping. It all starts with, like, the...
Like, the like, little, like, creep.
Peeping around corners and being sketched.
Yeah, that's weird.
So creepy.
That, well, I mean, that'd I'm be a good horror movie. I'm sorry
if you all have nightmares tonight.
Oh, they will. That was scary. And I'd be fake.
No, so fake.
I don't know. It's... I hope no. so. I really hope so.
I don't think... I think ChatGPT has a character limit.
So this is just from Real Scary Stories. Messed me up for years. Anyone had anything similar? I also posted this in a Scary Stories sub, but figured someone here may have some thoughts as well. Years ago, maybe 2006, 2007-ish, I took my girlfriend, now wife, to the movies. We were just out of high school. We decided to see The Exorcism of Emily Rose against her mother's advice. We made it through half of the movie. She wasn't enjoying it at all, and neither was I. We head out early, and since we have some time left, we decide to head to the park next to her house and just hang for a bit before I had to drop her off. We park my truck, I take the keys out of the ignition, and set them in my lap. A few seconds after this, the radio comes on, and the LCD display is just showing some weird symbols, and there is a very deep voice coming from the speakers. It was really loud and clear, but the words it was saying weren't English, and neither of us understood what it was saying. We proceeded to jump out of the truck, kind of freaked out. After the scary movie, we were very uneasy, and this was just over the top. When we hopped out, the radio shut off and the voice stopped. After a few minutes, we decided we should head to her house now. She lived less than a block, so we sped over there. Once there, I had the strangest feeling like someone was right behind me or watching me. I was really scared at this point. It was just so odd. I called my mom, told her that I couldn't explain now, but I wouldn't be home tonight, and I would tell her more in the morning. No way I was driving that truck home alone in the dark. We sat there for a while with her family, and I asked her mom if I could stay the night there, and her dad said I could share a room with her brother. Fast forward to when we were going to sleep, her brother gave me the bed and slept on the floor facing away from me towards the door. After a bit, sitting there propped up on my elbow facing the door, all of a sudden it got very cold and I couldn't move or talk. Into the doorway walks a silhouetted figure that was black like smoke with solid white eyes and appeared to have dreadlocks and a high ponytail. It stood in the doorway for what seemed like forever, staring straight into my eyes, and then turned and walked into the bathroom. As soon as it leaves the door, I can move again. So I have to know if it's in the bathroom at this point. I nervously get up and get out of bed. Her brother startles me by saying, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I have to go to the bathroom." Nothing was there. Since in that movie, the weird stuff always happened at 3:30 a.m., for the next 4 years or so, almost every night I woke up at 3:30 with the same someone watching me feeling. I chalked it up to sleep paralysis and a weird tech glitch, and the rest of me being paranoid and anxious about it. I've told all my friends over the years, and about 2 years ago decided to tell my brother-in-law. He was dumbfounded when I told him and said that he remembers that night very clearly because he was frozen and saw the same thing. So what the heck? Anyone have anything similar?
I actually know someone that has something similar.
Really?
On my mission, there was a member that served his mission in South Africa, and there was a certain place that missionaries lived. Every time a new missionary, there was four missionaries in this one place. Every time a new missionary would come, The missionaries that were there before weren't allowed to say anything. The mission president told them. And what would happen is at 2:55 a.m., all the missionaries would wake up at the same time. Not for no reason. But they would just be wide awake right away. And then, like, after a few minutes, they'd be able to go back to bed. And he said that, like, every missionary that would go there. And he said he was there for, like, 6 months. And for those 6 months, at the same time every morning, he would wake up. And all the missionaries would wake up.
Wait, for the 6 months? Like, it wasn't just, like, the first time.
Yeah. It was... No, and it was, like, a thing that's been happening. Like, the mission president knew about it, like... His first night there, he woke up at 2:55 a.m. And like, oh no, it happened like two days in a row. And he was like, what the heck?
What?
So finally he said something to the missionaries that were there before.
Yeah.
That have been there. And they were like, yeah, we were waiting for you to say something. But we wake up at the same time.
Bruh. That is no shock.
I'd be out of there so fast. I'd be like, mission president, please get me out of here.
Yeah, I remember him telling me that, and me and the other missionaries were like, so creeped out, yeah.
The evil spirit leaves after about 5 minutes, and you can just go back to sleep. It's going to happen every night that you're there, but it's fine. It's only 5 minutes less sleep.
That would mess with me.
Yeah.
They should have, like, gotten a different apartment. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, whoever was haunting that's crazy. I have a story about that movie. I've told you this before.
I've never seen it.
Movie?
It's awful. Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yeah, Joe has a story.
This is gnarly. It's very fast. Uh-huh. When I was in, like, ninth grade, I saw that movie at a house party. Like, we all went there. We were chilling, eating chips and dip. And, yeah, everything. Like, and it was, like, a big party. There's tons of people there. Uh-huh. So, well, I ate something at that party that made me super sick. And I, like, obviously I didn't know at the time. Was just chilling. We all watched the movie. It's horrible. It's not a good movie. It's just dark. So, whatever. We slept at my dad's girlfriend's house that night, and I had two buddies with me. She had these big love sacks, so we each slept on a love sack. And I woke up, I don't know what time it was, probably 3:30 in the morning, because that would have fit, but I don't know what time it was. Eyes open, and I'm like, oh shiz, I'm going to puke. Like, I'm going to yak everywhere. Ugh. And I was like, should I get up? Like, if I get up, it's going to be everywhere. And as soon as I did, I like stood up and projectile, like not to be gross, like not to be too graphic, but like think of the noises, right? Like it's when it's like, okay, the reason that's significant is because both of my buddies were having nightmares about the movie. So the noise, they both were like, popped up. They were losing it. And the one was like, dude, I was legitimately having a nightmare.
And it would be traumatized.
It was terrible. It was horrible. Not just because of the movie, but like it was such a mess. And I literally went upstairs and like woke my dad and his girlfriend up. I'm like, I just puked everywhere. Like
you're a freshman. You're like,
I can't
help me, dad.
I can't do that. I'm like, what do I do?
And did you clean it up?
No, my dad's girlfriend ran downstairs and helped me clean it up. She was a saint.
That was nice.
Yep. She helped me clean it all up. It was on her love sack. It was on the floor. It was everywhere.
Ew. And then
the carpet.
It happened two more times that night. I've never been so sick in my life. But the next two times, I was able to make it to the sink.
Oh, that's good.
The sink.
The sink.
Mm-hmm.
You
throws up in the toilet?
No, the disposal. And hey, if you guys want to know.
Like a bathroom sink.
Oh yeah, no. It was a kitchen sink. It was a kitchenette, like in like a rental part of her house.
Oh my gosh.
I was taking a nap. It was during lunch, and I was taking a nap, and the door was wide open to our room, and Elder Raider was my companion, and he was making food, and all of a sudden, this is just like a just brief, like I was dreaming. I was like having like a nightmare.
Yeah.
And in the nightmare, the door like slammed shut to our room, like hard, just slammed. And then I just like in the dream, I remember like something coming over top of me.
Ew.
And like I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like screaming and like trying to yell for him. And I couldn't.
Whoa.
And I just like just felt all this darkness and could just see darkness. And then I just couldn't do anything, and then finally I was able to, like, Reinhard! And, like, yell. Finally. Mm-hmm. And then I, like, wake up or whatever, and I, like, get out of bed, and I'm, like, open the door and, like, walk out, and I, like, talk to Raider. I was like, bro, I just had the worst dream, and he was like, what happened? I was like, well, the, like, door, like, slammed shut, and then, like, this, like, thing was holding me down. He was like, dude, I heard the door slam shut. He's like, I thought it was you.
Mm-mm.
He's like, I thought you were like mad or something, or like was mad, like you could hear me out here and you're pissed because you're trying to take a nap.
Yeah.
And I was like,
oh
yeah,
that thing literally slammed the door shut and got on top of you, bro.
Yeah.
Isn't that the creepiest thing ever?
Oh, that's so creepy.
Oh, I was so...
Africa.
I remember he told me that, and I was just like...
Oh, you're like, I'm just going to bed sick for a while.
We called right away. We're like, what do we do? The title is Black Hair.
I hate it already.
Fake.
Lynn.
I've lived in the same house for over 12 years before I moved out. It was an innocent vintage house that laid atop a hill. We had a maid that usually cleaned our house once a month. She was nice and we were close with her. We were quite surprised when she said she was quitting. We kept asking her why, but she wouldn't tell us, saying that she wasn't comfortable with telling us. We were beyond confused. After lots of begging, she finally told us what made her want to quit. She said that while she was cleaning the house, she saw a girl in a white dress with long black hair that covered her face. We all had dirty blonde hair and we weren't home at the time she was cleaning the house. We were super freaked. That night, when I was in bed, it suddenly got cold. I hugged the nearest pillow next to me and prayed that it would keep me warm. That morning, I woke up and found a long, black lock of hair in my bed. The pillow I was hugging was on the opposite side of the room. My siblings pranked me a lot, so I automatically assumed that they were messing with me. So I ran downstairs into their rooms and told them that it wasn't funny. They denied it, but I didn't believe them. That was until they told me that they weren't home last night and just got back this morning. They were both at a sleepover with their friends. I knew my parents wouldn't do this, so I immediately was freaked out. Since that moment, everyone refused to sleep over, claiming that they would see a girl of the exact description of our maid. Staring at them. I would keep waking up with strands of hair in my bed. It got so bad to the point where I started sleeping in my parents' room. We moved out now, but I soon found out that way back a serial killer lived in our house, buried his victims under his house, and that he preferred little girls. This still freaks me out till this day.
Bruh.
No.
Ew. Shouldn't that be disclosed to the homeowners?
Yeah, it is.
It should be.
But it wasn't his house. It was his parents' house.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So he wouldn't have known. His parents were like, yeah, it's fine, bro. We got a discount on the house.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Would you do that?
No.
Absolutely
not. A beautiful mansion and you could afford it.
It's like the one in Torreon, the murder house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Absolutely
is it,
not.
Is it for sale or did somebody buy it?
I think it's always up for sale. People come and go.
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
I
don't think anyone lives in it.
I don't think people own it right now.
I'll have to look it up.
You want to buy it?
I would, because...
Do you know about the Torreon murder?
Yeah, he told me the whole story. I think that's lit.
Joe.
No. I mean, it's just crazy that it happened there. I would buy it.
I don't know. That's my favorite.
Okay, but... So, what do you think's going on with this kid? Why is there long black hairs in his bed?
That's nasty.
So, do you think it...
Can a ghost even do that? Leave, like, physical...
Yeah, it probably plucked it off of one of the dead bodies under the foundation and just brought it right up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Does hair disintegrate or anything?
This reminds me of another story.
Yeah, I think it withers away.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Hair?
Hair?
It'll stay forever?
Like, keep growing.
Not on a dead body.
No, I'm saying on a dead body.
No, hair...
Hair does not last.
Hair grows.
Hair will deteriorate just like skin, just like...
So a person that's buried for 5,000 years, how long is their hair now?
No, it's no. That's just a skeleton at that point. It's, yeah, the hair...
But it lasts longer.
It lasts longer than, like, skin, than, yeah, like, blood and stuff, because it's just dead cells.
I know. How long does it take for your hair to just, like...
I don't know.
What does it do? Just, like, crumble like sand?
Well, isn't there times where, like, people will find, and the last thing they'll have is, like... They can, like, still look at their fingernails?
No, they
can look at
their DNA under their
fingernails. Yeah, that's different. And that's, like, soon after.
You guys want to hear one of the comments?
Yeah.
Dog shit story, not exciting.
Oh, jeez. Brutal.
Wow. It's just like, I've heard way better.
I heard Whitney's story, and this is nothing.
Jeez. I thought it was good. That would freak me out, like, every night, being like, where is this long black hair coming from?
Yeah, that's
Joseph.
Well, yeah, but it only happened once to Craig.
No, he said it kept happening.
He said it happened a few times.
Yeah.
So it was parents.
Good listening, Joe.
Put me on blast right on here. I find your long hairs everywhere. Like, I'll be, like, at the gym and, like, pull my phone out of my pocket and out comes, like, a... Just
a wad?
It's, just no, it's just, like, one long string of hair where I'm just like, it is not stopping.
And, that's when you find out how long, like, hair actually is.
Oh, you guys. Well, we hope here at Internet Frenzy that you guys have the best, most spookiest Halloween this year.
Who was the fake?
Oh.
I think it's Whitney.
You think it's me?
I think it might be Joe.
I think it could be either...
Wait.
I think it legitimately could have been any one of us.
Honestly.
I think it's Joe.
Because they all sounded fake. One of the four of us got their story on ChatGPT, so I just want to know who that was.
Yeah.
I'm dying.
Please let us know. Next week is when we reveal who the fake was of this episode, so...
Thanks for the love and support. We'll see you guys next time.
Internet Frenzy's on three. One, two, three! Internet Frenzy!